Praise the Lord. Audrey was saying that when she was singing Spirit of the Living God, she was saying snowflakes, which brings me to our message this morning. Please open in your Bibles to Genesis 15. And we're going to look at something I believe that we can identify with, or I do as a pastor, as a Pentecostal preacher. In Genesis 15, even though we've gone over this material, I want to take one of the thoughts and maybe drive it home a little further. In chapter 14, Abram has just delivered his nephew Lot, his wife, children, from being hostages. And he refused to take of the spoils. He felt the spoils belonged back at the place where they were. And God comes to him. And in verse 1, and after these things of the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. It is believed that God was encouraging him, don't be concerned about the retaliation of the enemies of the five kings that you have delivered Lot and your nephew from. He let him know he was his shield. And then he said, I'm your exceeding great reward. And the reason it is believed that God said, I'm your exceeding great reward, is because Abram refused to take a reward, but felt that it should go back to the place where it was. Abram, may I remind us, is very rich at this time. He has 300 and I believe it was 18 in verse 14 of chapter 14 in Genesis, servants, men that he took to go deliver. Anybody here have 318 people working for you? I think not. Abram was very well off, as God had promised. So when God comes and he reminds him that he is not to be afraid and that he is a shield, he'll protect him and his exceeding great reward, Abram was not being unappreciative of the material blessings that God had blessed him with. Abram was not unthankful. But Abram says, Lord, verse 2, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? What Abram is saying is, yes, I have the things that you've said, and I'm very appreciative, but what I do not have is what I long the most. And it grieves me, and I long because my wife, Sarah, and myself, we go childless, and we do not have a child. He was not being disrespectful, but I want to use that to say that I am Pentecostal, and the one thing that I long for is to see the Pentecostal experience. And as much as I appreciate all of the other blessings that come with Christianity, I long to see the Pentecostal Spirit of God move and the nine gifts and the moving of the Spirit within God's church. It's not that I'm not appreciative of all the other things that come and are the blessings of God that makes one rich, but I would agree with Abram if you would allow me to take this passage and this thought and say, Lord, I am appreciative for all that you've done, but and I would not say that I go childless. I would not say that I am going without Pentecost. I am saying that I long to see more of it because it's not to the degree that I would be satisfied at this time in my life. I want you to notice that in the New Testament, in the book of Jude, we must not confuse what he is contending for here as what in the book of Timothy he, and I will bring this to our attention. In the book of Jude, if you would turn there just briefly, the last book, just before the book of Revelation, he says in verse 3, writing to the church, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, as it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." There is a contending that he says that we should do. But what he is saying we need to hold on to is different than in the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy, what he's contending for. In Jude, he's contending for a salvation that is by grace, and that we must continually preach that it is by grace are you saved, and through faith, not of yourselves, not of works. So I understand that, and that is what he's contending for. However, in the book of 2 Timothy, when he speaks of the last days, he is not addressing what Jude is addressing. What he is addressing in the book of Timothy, let's turn there, is, and it was his concern for the church, but in 2 Timothy and chapter 3, he says in the last days, and one of the things that concerns him is, we'll pick up at verse 1. "Know this, then, the last days, perilous times shall come." Let me just stop for a moment before we go on. Could we turn that down just a bit, Brother Jim? I'm getting feedback, please. When I was 15, I had a paper route. I would read the headlines every day. And I can assure you that the headlines are quite different now than they were when I was 15 years of age. At that time, I would notice the terrible things that happened to our nation. I can remember the shooting of a man up in a tower in Texas. I remember the Manson trials and that terrible thing that took place. And in that two-year time when I had that paper route, I would imagine there was maybe at the most four or five huge, terrible things that happened within that time. But we're living at a different time than we were when I was 15 years of age. Let's fast forward now 40, 50 years. I just looked on the internet, and back then, there were terrible things that happened. There was the slaughter of the women in the room. And so I'm going to say four or five of them within a year's time. Terrible acts of killings, etc. But now the statistic is in the year 2015, if we define what is a terrible shooting, it is defined by four or more are injured in one episode. In the year 2015, we had 355 occurrences within our country where four or more were injured by violence, either by gun or another weapon. How many know that that's quite a bit of difference from then as it is now? And it is obvious we are living in these times that I believe it may get worse. It may be worse down the road than as it is now from then. But he does say that, "Know this, in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." Now he's going to deal with more of a spiritual aspect in the church. For he says, "having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." Here he writes and says his concern was, He sees the church, the called out ones, those that are trying to serve and live for the Lord. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. What is he actually saying there without being so general? We're not actually addressing it. And one preacher said the word power meant the reality. I'm sure it could include that. But let me share with you from my point of view of what I see taking place. I am aware very well that Jude said one of the things the church needs to be on guard for is to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Yes, we must contend that it is by grace. I agree. But now we come to the book of Timothy, and he's not addressing the falling away where it can be mixed in with works, etc. But he's addressing within the church there is a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Or we could say the real moving of the Spirit of God. I see the church in two categories. I see those that are Pentecostal, that believe in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that believe in the gifts of the Spirit, and believe that what happened in the book of Acts is relevant and is happening, and we contend that it is still doctrinally for today. There are those that do not believe that, and that they believe in salvation, but they do not believe in the gifts of the Spirit. They are called cessationists, though they would not call themselves that, but that is what they've been called by many. And they are those that believe in, yes, salvation, and I would not challenge them in that area, but they do not conduct their services to whereby the Holy Spirit is encouraged to move. They do not conduct their services to whereby it is taught doctrinally of the gifts of the Spirit found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13, where I show you a more excellent way. And yet he says here, and it makes me believe that he could be addressing those that are having a form of godliness. And I do not discredit, and I say this because it is such a time as this that we need to have overcoming faith. In perilous times like this, we need to have all we can have that God sees that we should have. Okay, then what I find rather challenging, I have three friends. I believe they'd call me a friend. They are, one is a, though I haven't had much to do with him, we grew up together. His older brother was a dear friend of mine. He was a younger brother, and he lived down the street. He, at the age of 16, his brother shared Christ with him, and he became a Christian. He entered into church work, and I don't question his sincerity. I do believe he loves God. And he was a youth pastor for many, many years. The last 8 years ago, he took a church himself. Now he is running 2,000 people. And he is a strong believer in soul winning. I say praise the Lord for that. And I thank God for that. But that is not me. And he believes different than I do. I say Godspeed, God bless you. But on the same token, I'm Pentecostal. And so there are times that I can assure you the enemy has a way of coming to you and saying, are you sure you want to be Pentecostal? Why, look at these that do not subscribe to the truths you do. I'm not questioning their heart, their motive, their sincerity. That is not what's on trial. What's on trial is, thus saith the Lord. And what does God say? And even though he may have 2,000, and I praise the Lord for that, and it would be easy, and that's why the scripture says, they that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. I have two other friends, they're brothers. If I mention their name, you would know them. They do not subscribe to the teachings and the view that I do in this church holds dear, and that is they fit his category. Even though they were brought up within the teachings of this to some large measure, they do not conduct their services. They do not teach about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They do not allow the service within of how it is the service and the worship and the encouragement. They don't teach about the gifts of the Spirit, and because they teach that those things are not for today, and therefore, yes, we recognize it, but it is not for today. And one runs 2,500, and one runs 3,000. I can assure you that the enemy is very good at what he does, and he can often come to someone like myself and say, I'm not convinced if I even went that route, I'd be running anymore. I'm not convinced that if I subscribe to that teaching, which I do not believe, that therefore that we would see more within our services. But that is not what is on trial. What is on trial is what saith the Lord. What is God's word? And I go back to when he says in the last days there will be this, but they will deny that. And then he even goes on and says, from such turn away. I don't know if they totally fall into that category, but I will turn away from the false doctrine. And here is my position as pastor, and it has been the position of this church, and I thank God for it, and I pray it always will be. It reminds me of the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that said to the king that we believe God is Pentecostal. We believe our God can deliver us. We believe he can, and we believe he will. But if he doesn't, we're not bowing down. And that is my position. I believe God can bless our church with great numbers. That is not what is on trial. I believe he can, and I believe he will. But if he don't, I am not bowing down. I am Pentecostal, and I will contend for the faith when it comes to grace, and I will contend for the faith when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit and of such things as that. And that is the position that I must take, and I pray that you will continually support and back, and let God be God, and let every man be a liar. And that we are not being governed by numbers or success by the world. We are being governed by what saith the Lord. And may that always be what we contend for. Why does this get frustrating to me? And I get challenged. All my life as a believer, let me back up. Since 18, when I was filled with the Holy Ghost, and shortly thereafter, I have experienced, many of them I've shared with you, the supernatural and the Pentecostal experience in what I have deemed in the gifts of the Spirit or that fall into this category. I cannot determine when it comes. I have no power of when it comes, and I can't keep it from coming. If it comes, I can't stop it from coming. I can yield to it, but I cannot stop the gift when it comes. When it does come, my job is to yield. I can't make it come, and I can't stop it from coming. That has been my testimony since I was filled with the Holy Ghost, and shortly thereafter, God began to use me in that area. But I can assure you, there have been times, and I speak from experience as well as doctrinal background, there have been times where I will go and it seems like I can go through the longest phase when nothing is happening, when I don't see it happen. And what do you do? It is such times as that that for me personally, I even shared with my wife. I said, I don't understand. All my ministry I've gone and I've had where God has interacted and I've seen it. And I know I can't make it happen. And I know that he's the author and finisher of it. But I don't understand why I've gone so long and I have not seen. How many know what I'm talking about? It happening. It is such times as that. I need Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faith. It is such times as that, that yes, though it does not happen. And sure, there's always those temptations that have a tendency to. I have a minister friend who just sat down with another preacher friend of mine, and he's done his very level's best. What gifting God has given him, he has used faithfully. He has done his best, and yet he looks at such a very small amount. It reminds me of Habakkuk, though he says, though there's no cows in the stock and there's no supply, etc., and it looks everything scarce, Habakkuk says that I will still praise him. And may that be the fight of faith that we are. And we need to recognize, because there is the temptation that is on every church and every pastor and every person that says, how come what I am believing I am not seeing? You just keep believing. He is the author and he is the finisher. Our job is to be faithful to the truths and to the light that whereby God has given us. And so it is such times like I shared with you that I can go and I think, like Gideon, if God be for us, then where are all the miracles? God, why have you not moved on me like you have in times past? And God is silent. You ever have God be silent to you? Go ahead, throw a pout. See how good that does. And may we continually join in the camp of Job and all those of Hebrews chapter 11, that I will contend for the faith that was handed down unto the saints. And I will continue. And though it has been some time since God has done that, what has that got to do with thee? Follow thou me. I'm just opening up my heart to you, because all of us, and here am I, a Pentecostal preacher, and I say, Lord, I'm appreciative of the blessings that we've received. But Lord, I go childless. I go Pentecostalist. I go without seeing it. Oh, I've seen it, but it's been some time. And I'm not even saying if that happened that that would guarantee this. It's not the point. It's what does the Bible say? And walking obedience to the light that God has given you. And there are temptations I've seen of ministers that if we be successfully motivated or oriented, more than biblically oriented, and I determine success by what God says, and obedient to God, that determines success. But I have known of ministers that have, they wanted the crowd so bad that they felt that, well, if that's the case, and if I go down this route, and it can be offensive, and it can make people uncomfortable, if I can get more numbers, then I'm going to be able to chop it off here, and chop it off here, and chop it off here, and chop it off there, and you become like the sensationist, and you're no different. I don't want that. I stand before God. And that's God that is the author and finisher, and he is the one. And so I say, let us continually. Am I saying this is a formula? Therefore, if we say no, we won't bow down. Therefore, God says, I'm impressed. I'm going to come down and give you the experience. No, I'm not even saying that. Obedience isn't to be based on bargaining such as that. Obedience is based on the fact that I am a servant. I do not belong to myself. He bought me with his precious blood. And because of that, I'm going to be Pentecostal whether I see Pentecost or not. I'm going to shout whether I see the victory or not. I'm going to contend whether I see it or not. And that is what God wants out of us. And the history of the church has been, there are always seasons. Always seasons. Yeah, well, mine is a longer season. Oh, people, aren't you glad that the Lord knows where you are? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, we believe our God can deliver us. And we believe he will, but if he don't, I'm still not changing. I don't care if I go down to one, and the only one I got listening to me is Bob Garner just looking at me. I'm still preaching the old-fashioned Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit-inspired Word of God. Amen. Amen. And I pray that that you would be a conviction of yours, and that is not for sale. It is not a bargaining chip. It is not something that we want success to the degree what we are willing to cut off a little here and cut off a little there. No! We contend for the teaching of grace, but I also contend, and I don't want to get to the place where we deny the power thereof, which is what many are doing biblically. They are denying the power. What are you saying about them? I'm just saying they fit within the description of denying the power thereof. You want to talk about me? That's another day. Not now. We're talking about them that deny the power thereof. And he says, from such. So I love them. And I pray God bless them. But there are a people that want success at any cost. And I don't want that kind of success. And Abram didn't either. He said, I've got success. I've got all these possessions. And I'm grateful for them. But I go childless. And that's what I want. It took 25 years. But God gave it to him. You know what I want? I want a Holy Ghost move of God. I want the old-fashioned, blood-bought, Holy Ghost-filled move of God. I want the real. I don't want the fake. I want the real. And I will contend for the real. I'm not contending that we have the crowd. Do I want the crowd? Yes. I must contend for that before anything else. And when God, that's what he wants out of us. And so that is my heart's desire. I'm asking you to pray with me. I told my wife, I said, I hate it when I go a long time and God hasn't spoken to me something that's really clear and crisp. I know I don't control it. I know I can't make it happen, but I can pray for it. And he does say, covet earnestly the best gifts. And I'm not even saying if it happened that thus would happen. Because I've seen thus happen and not so much happen after that. And to say, well, if we had that, that'd guarantee revival. No, we've had those miracles and here we are. It's not the point. It's being obedient to the truths of what God has given us. And be happy about it. I'm not ashamed of being Pentecostal. I'm not going to go hanging my hand around my head down and say, well, I'm embarrassed. I only got this. No, I am thrilled that I'm Pentecostal. I wouldn't trade enough for my journey now. I wouldn't give my experiences that I've had in God and the Holy Ghost and the supernatural for all the numbers in the world and the church that has that. And I don't mean to compare to create a division. I'm just saying I wouldn't trade for it. This is too real. This is too real. And I'm done. But may we get a sense of where we're heading. We're heading to obey God. We're heading, and I want you to know where your pastor's heart is. I want you to know that no, I wouldn't trade. When Ahab wanted his vineyard, and he said, it's not for sale. My Pentecostal experiences are not for sale. My doctrine is not for sale. My belief in what I know to be true is not for sale. And I will go down to the fire, whether he does or whether he doesn't. I believe he will, but if he doesn't, we're Pentecostal. Amen. And when John the Baptist, you got to know who you are. Before you know who you're not. Or no, you got to know who you're not before you know who you are. They said, John the Baptist, are you him? He said, I'm not him, but I'm a voice crying in the wilderness. I am not the Savior, but I am Dennis Chester Connor, a Holy Ghost-filled preacher, and I know what I'm not, and I know what I am, and I am that I am, and I'm not deity, but I am a Holy Ghost Pentecostal preacher that'll shout till Jesus comes and will believe what has happened, and lay we not back down. Amen. 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 Debbie, would you come? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, I don't want to deny it. I want it. Why? Because I think it's the key to growth? No. Because it's the key to obeying Him. It's the key to that which is real. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 hallelujah. I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I've had so many wonderful experiences in God. And they're real. And I feel for those that don't have them. And the doctrines come against them. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Although I did say I haven't had God speak to me, and I'm talking about the really ones that really excite me. But I do believe the Lord has spoken to me concerning someone here. And would you stand with me and let me just share it for a moment? There's a preacher that I admire. His name is Bob Johnson, I believe. He's up in Reading. He was Assembly of God preacher, and he contended for the supernatural, even to the point where people were thinking he was too much out of balance. And he just kept contending for him, said, no, it's real. And they continued to seek God. They weren't seeking the miracles. They were seeking God. It just became a byproduct and an outflow of his seeking the Lord, and things began to happen. And he'd go through times where he said he went years and nothing happened. But it didn't matter to him. He was pursuing as the deer panteth after the water brook. So doth my soul panteth after that which is real. And now he's running 5,000, 10,000. Am I saying we do that? No. He wasn't doing it for that. He was doing it because he knew it was real and he was pursuing it. But I admire him for going through the times when it wasn't popular. And folks, Oh, may God help us to live for God when it's not popular. May God help us to live for God when it's not the end thing and all that. That's not why I'm doing it. I don't want the acceptance of man and the praise of man. I want the acceptance and the approval of God. That's what we want. And I'm not even saying by doing this we impress God to, therefore he just says, well, you know, I'm impressed and therefore here. No, not even that. But somebody here is in a fork in the road, and you need to make a decision, and you don't know what to do, and you want wisdom. Would you raise your hand? I want to pray with you. I'm not sure what to do. Maybe it's me. The old preacher was preaching. He said, oh, I believe there's somebody here having problems in your heart. He went on a little bit later and he said, no, he said, the Lord tell me there's somebody here, problems in the heart. Nobody responded. About 2 minutes later, he said, oh my God, it's me. And he fell over and had a heart problem. And I'm not making fun of it. God knows the sincerity. But if you're here and you're saying, I really need to make a decision. And I'm not pressuring you to do this. That's not my point. I'm just wanting to, okay, Frida. How many have one thing like Abram? It may not be you go childless, but that one thing is so got you. I have this, I have this, I have that, and I'm grateful that, Lord. But this one area, it really grieves me, God. If you're here and you have that one area, would you lift your hand up and let the Lord see it? Lord, I've got this, and I'm grateful. But Lord, I go childless. I go without this one thing. It's more than one with me. But oh, he hears that. Could we come and let's just come as a church and stand and let's unite our hearts together. And it says in the book of Acts, when they were all in one accord and they were unified. And may we unify our hearts. And may we make a declaration to the enemy that we are what we are, unashamedly, and we are not doing it for gain. We are not doing it for the praise of man or for the idea of success. We are doing it because what pleases me is when I know I'm pleasing God. And I can't please God without faith, and my faith is not in those things that are not real. My faith is in the Holy Ghost and the moving of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and the reality, the infallible proofs. And oh, let's just lift our hands and thank Him this morning, Father. We do thank You for Your goodness. We join our hearts, oh God, every one of us, and we lift them up to You, Lord. And we praise You for Your goodness. We thank You for the deliverance. We thank You, Lord, that You're our shield, our exceeding great reward. We thank You for all the blessings. But, oh God, and before I go any further, Lord, I pray for that wisdom to come to Frida, Lord, in this fork in the road or needing wisdom what to do. Lord, Your word said if any man, in this case any woman, lacks, let him ask of God, let her ask of God. And so, Lord, we ask, and I pray that You give Frida that peace that passes all understanding. I pray You give her that awareness of what to do, and Your wisdom speak to her. And Lord, as we heard Sherry talk about, she woke up in the morning and the answer was there. May You give it to Frida. May the Holy Ghost give that peace that calls the close place. But now, Lord, we move to the rest of us. And that one thing, we go childless. Lord, it's different with each of us. It could be with me to see the continued moving of the Holy Spirit. It could be that one family member that is not yielded to God and we are concerned and desire to see them saved. It could be the healing, Lord, within that loved one or even ourselves. But Lord, whichever that is, I just pray we lift it up to You. As Hannah lifted up Ishmael, and as Abram lifted up his son Isaac, and Lord, as we lift up our needs before You, and looking unto You, the author and the finisher of our faith, oh God, hear that prayer. Hear the heart cry of everyone here, of that one thing, oh God, that Lord, we're believing and trusting that You'll do it. You did answer that prayer to Abram, and I believe that You will answer to us. Oh God, we pray, Lord, that we will let our light shine. We pray, Lord, that our church will be united into the message that You have put within our heart. And may we let our light shine. May we let our love, oh God, reach out across to our neighbors and everyone else. May we carry the torch with love. May we carry our message, Lord, not with a wrong spirit, but with the spirit of wanting to please You. Oh God, I thank You. Bless Your people. Let's just praise Him now. Could we do that? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh God, we praise You. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We praise You, dear Jesus. We long for the moving of Thy Holy Spirit. We long for You to move and to show Yourself mightily, O God. Oh God, we praise You. Give people the desires of their hearts, and those desires be birthed of Thee. Oh God, we thank You. We are Thy servant, O Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I pray for Your anointing. I pray for clarity. I pray, God, for direction and a stirring, oh God. Oh, may we stir up the gift that was in Thee by the laying on of hands. Stir my brother, I pray, oh God, move on Your people in Jesus' mighty name. Bless them in their homes and their families. Bless them in their work. Bless them in their coming and in their going. Give us souls, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And by the way, Pentecost has got its crowds too. There's 3,000 saved and 5,000. But oh, may we put our eyes on Jesus and seek Him. Oh God, oh Lord, be with our loved ones, our family. The time is short. The time is short. The hourglass is running out. Work, for the day cometh when no man can work. Oh, blessed Jesus. Turn to somebody and give them a hug, would you? Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. On me.